Thank you. You are my witnesses. So point at yourself. All the children can go to children's church. Be a witness. The next three words are so important. It says, "You are my witnesses," declares the Lord. "And my servant whom I have chosen." That means each one of you that is standing has now a requirement on their life. Now that you've heard the word, it says that we have to be hearers and doers of the word. And so you are officially a hearer of the word. You just heard the word declared over you that you are his witnesses, and therefore you have to act on that. From this moment forth, that everywhere you go and every day, that you would be a witness and that you would be a servant of the Most High God. It's within the understanding of what he says is that you might be able to declare that he is the Lord and that he is one God. And that there is no God that's going to come after or before him. He is God alone. And can the people of God say amen? You may be seated. I have been stirred all week on this word and this concept of a witness. And so a witness is to see and know by personal experience or perception, so that you've stood there, you were a part of it, and you could testify about it. But the testifying is that you would be a witness bearer. How many of you guys see things but don't ever tell anybody? So as I was preparing for this, I was sitting and I was studying. And all of a sudden, like, you know how your phone dings at you and then you get distracted? Anybody have that happen? Well, I saw a picture of a family and it said, "Pray for them." And I was like, "I wonder who they are." And I passed on. Just, I didn't know who they were. And then all of a sudden, another message and another message saying, "Pray for this man, Charlie." And I actually did not know who Charlie was until a couple days ago. How many of you have heard of Charlie Kirk? How many of you have heard of him this week? Look around. I want you to actually see people's hands, not just me seeing your hands. How many of you have had a conversation with somebody about him? How many of you know nothing about him? There's a couple of you that know nothing about him. So there was a man this week that was assassinated, and his name was Charlie Cook, and this is the first Kirk, sorry, my bad. See, I didn't know who he was. I do now know who he is. And so in that sense of thought, you can have this understanding. You can witness something that happened. Actually, moments after that thing came up, someone on my feed, on my Instagram, Facebook feed, posted the actual live video or secondary video of him being shot, and I saw that. I do not like to see that. And that's seared in my mind. So I could testify of what it looked like to you, like that. That's the like an ability of bearing witness of what you saw, even though I wasn't in the same space. And now we have a lot of people bearing witness of what they've seen or what they've heard or now who he is. And God uses this concept of bearing witness in throughout his whole creating of a people that he's called himself. I want to take you into the thought of Moses. And Moses was a man, and he bore witness to Israel about who God was. What did he do? He went up on a mountain. He experienced God. He wrote the Ten Commandments, and he came down, and he told the people. And he told them exactly what God was saying and what God was, his God's heart for them and his desire. And he was putting it inside of a people. And then he called that people, Israel, and he said, "I want you to bear witness of who I am to the people of this world, because I've chosen you. You don't look like everybody else." And so all the other nations that surrounded the nation of Israel got to experience God, because the nation of Israel was supposed to set an example as a witness of who God was into the nations. and then they failed at it. They actually forgot who they were. And I found that very interesting as I was writing my notes and I wrote that. I thought that's so interesting that they actually forgot who they were, which caused them to actually have trouble being a witness. Because who you are will testify of who he is as his son or daughter. And so what happened is that God arose up prophets in that time, and they became a witness to the people of Israel. Remember who God is? Do you remember who God is? And one of those prophets was Isaiah. And it's so interesting because Isaiah, in Isaiah 6:1, it says, in the year of King Uzziah, when he died, so there was a lot of trouble in that time. There was a lot of chaos happening in that time. Who they thought was going to take them somewhere and do something good, all of a sudden was dead. And as Isaiah said, I looked up and I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And do you understand that we sang about him being on the throne today? We're still testifying of what Isaiah saw over and over again, generation after generation, years after years. And that testimony of what Isaiah saw was to declare to him that this was the king that had all the train and all the robes, because that meant he was a conquering king. And there was power in what he saw. And then, aren't you thankful that the ultimate witness came to the earth, Christ Jesus? He lived and he dwelt among the people and he testified. And I imagine if I sat and asked each one of you, what is something Jesus did on the earth while he lived? You could tell me. Somebody shout something out. What's something you know that he did while he was on the earth? He walked on water. What's another testimony of something of Jesus when he was on the earth that he did? He instantly healed people. He raised the dead. What's another thing? He did die on the cross, but before that, he fed a lot of people. He multiplied bread and fish and loaves and fed thousands of people. How many of you want that many people come into your dinner? There's a lot of food that was multiplied. And you want to know something? He didn't just leave it at let me get you fed and send you home. He had more than enough left over. He's the God that did so many things, and he spoke with a power and authority on the earth. Jesus did that. And Jesus even declared. And this is how Jesus, you know, Jesus was a witness. It's because in John 15, 19 through 20, it says, and Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing on his own accord, but he does only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. And the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. So there's that sonship relationship. That you have a relationship with God and you recognize that I'm his son or daughter and that he loves me, so he's willing to show me everything he's doing. There isn't any gap in that space, so that as today exists, that you have the same ability that Jesus did, that you could see what the Father's doing and you can do it on the earth. How many of you walk that out every day? So today's a good day to start. How about that? How about you just push all of yesterday and all the things that you never did that you should have done, and you just throw them in the trash and you forget them, because it's a fresh day. It's a new day. It's a starting place today. And today God is saying, you are my witness. You are my witness. And he was bearing witness of God to the people, and he was showing them who God was and how much God loved them. And he was displaying his grace on their lives. He was calling them and saying, I'm not going to just heal you, but I'll forgive you of your sins. And I'm going to wash you and make you white as snow. And I can even tell what you're thinking. And don't think like that, because I can show you who I am. And I can move in those impossible places. He was constantly pressing into their lives with his grace and his love and his reconciliation and his mercy and his freedom. That is Christ. Can I get an amen, church? And guess what happened to him? Because he bore witness of God's kingdom, they killed him. But Jesus is alive. And death did not stop him. And he had victory over every wicked force of darkness. And then he gave us the power. Come on, church. In Acts 2:32, and it says, this Jesus that God raised up, of that we are all witnesses. And you can say, I wasn't there. Thank you. You're right. It doesn't matter. Have you had an encounter with Christ and it changed your life? How many of you have? And how many of you have taken that testimony of what Christ has done and shared it with somebody else? And then shared it again, and then again, and then again, and then again. And then you had another encounter with Christ, and he did something. As I'm going to share from my own life, I know that I stand as a great shining testimony of God saying that I'm the father to the fatherless and the husband to the widow. I stand as a testimony of that. I am a witness that God is who he says he is in that space and in that regard. I also am a very great example, and I can tell you time and time again, of how God has said that he's Jehovah Jireh. And I'm a testimony that he is the God who provides. I could testify to you that I believe and know that God is healer, because he has healed my back and he has redeemed my back from destruction. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that God is a healer. I stand as a testimony of that. And we get to stand as testimonies and lights of things that God has done in our lives and represent that to a hurt and dying world that have no hope. We get to be bold and courageous with that. We get to witness that. We don't get to just see it and know it and live in our bubble and think, that sounds really great. I love what Christ did for me, but it's not for you only. It's for you to actually share and represent to the others that are around us, just like Jesus. And guess what? Now is the time. Now is the time. It is the greatest time on earth. How many problems are happening in the world? Y'all got a lot of laughs about that. You're right. Then there's a great problem solver, Jesus, and you know his name. There's no problem too big for him. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing that he doesn't have the ability to change and shift and mold and make and do something so creative that you couldn't even conceive it in your mind. Because he loves us so much. He absolutely loves us, and he wants us to be a testimony of that. And so what he said in Luke 24:48-49, because I believe when Jesus walked on the earth, he understood. He could walk next to you shoulder to shoulder and say, hey, I get it. It's hard out here. It's tough, right? He could say that. He lived in the trenches like you do, in the different things that you're facing. He's like, I understand sorrow. I understand grief. I understand pain. I understand anguish. I understand when you get misunderstood. I understand when nobody is listening to you. And I understand this and I understand that. And then he says, but you are my witness of these things. And those things were that he was going to die and be resurrected. And he says, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. That is a promise. And I just love that he's given us the power for the purpose. He's clothed us with power from on high. And I just feel really stirred, Micah. I'm going to just speak to you specifically, because the mantle that he put on you, well, I was studying this, and I believe that you're supposed to actually study Elijah and Elisha. It says that when Elijah passed him by, Elijah passed him by, he threw his cloak, his mantle on him. And he was doing what he was doing in life. And then all of a sudden he stopped doing and he sacrificed what he was doing and he followed. And in that moment, that represented sonship. There was something that God was doing. And he kept saying, my son to you. Like there's a sonship response to that. That's love. That's important. That's vital. He was giving us a display of what I'm just about to tell you about, the power of God being released. But that in Elijah and Elisha, you see the power and like how when he goes up into heaven, that he released the mantle fell and he picked it up. The power wasn't contained in that mantle. It was actually contained in the faith that God was the same God of Elijah that he would be of Elisha. And you have to take hold of that same faith that God is going to use you, that God's going to move through you, and it doesn't matter who you are or where you came from, but that he has purpose because he's destined you and he's called you and he's anointed you. And I believe that's for all of us to have that picture, that revelation of that picture of like this. This is what he's saying. He says, but isn't that great? But you will receive power. How many of you have received power? How many of you use the power? Okay, we need like 100% response from now on. When somebody says, are you using the power? Everybody's hands should go up. You're officially power packed. There's nothing more. He poured his power upon you. And we get into our minds that if we do it just right, then it will work. If we're holy and righteous and we do it just, then it will work. And he's saying, I'm covering you with power. And today the world needs power released. And it's not so that we can just have the miracle. Do you understand that he's like, your words are not good enough. What you could tell somebody is not good enough. That he doesn't want their salvation to rest in how eloquent you can speak to them and show them and give them all the knowledge and the wisdom. He's not interested in that. He wants their salvation to rest in his power, period. That's what he says. If you go in to, I jumped ahead, but I'm going to just jump. First Corinthians, if you put that verse up, it says that Paul was saying that. He was like, it's the demonstration of the Spirit and power. If you read that, that's what's going to happen and change people's lives. And so as I was studying this, I was starting to get so stirred that if I don't live with power and I don't expect power to move in my life and through my life, then how will somebody know about Jesus? If that's the key, when the church began, that the power of God was released upon us through the Spirit, that if we're not functioning in the Spirit and of power, then how will someone else know that it's him and not just you being really good at speaking? And that's why he coupled those two things together, that we should have this anticipation that when I lay hands on the sick, I'll see them recovered. How many of you have that anticipation? If you do, you would pray more for the sick. Because you say, I really would hate if I was rocking around and my leg wasn't moving. I would hate that. So you'd have compassion on them. And then you'd be like, well, God can heal them. So I'm just going to pray over them. But we get caught up in ourselves, in our daily grind. We get caught up in all the sin and the things that so easily entangle us. And we can't run the race in front of us because we're dealing with this issue and we're dealing with that. And what about this and all of these things? And I just don't have time. And when we get so busy and we get so caught up and we get so in tune with what everything else is happening in the world, that we're not in the world, our world present. How often are you distracted by things that are happening miles away and not currently in the present where you're seeing what's happening and what God is wanting to do, that you can release the presence and the power of God, which is available 100% of the time? You have to believe that. Otherwise, you won't ever act on it. You won't. How many of you went to your phone and it started going all the time? You would like get a new phone. How many? If it just started acting up and you didn't like how it just like took forever because it was like, ugh, and then it would go black and then it would do this. How many of you could get annoyed with it? Because you would expect it to do what you think it should do. And you would fix it immediately because you got to have that thing working because somebody might reach you and you don't want them to reach you, right? They're going to call you and you're like, I wish you weren't calling me. Why did I fix this? Come on. We live in today's society. You know the distractions of this world. You know them. I don't have to be that clear. I get distracted. I'm a 100%. Easy distraction. But we are witnesses. First and foremost, that's what he said you're supposed to do. Are you doing it? Have you checked in? Have you said, this is my mission today? How will I be a witness? God, interrupt my day. I want the divine appointment. Or, would you make my day so easy, God? Because that would be really great. How often are we praying things like that instead of how life-changing can we be? How life-changing could you be if you started stepping into that power mode and think, I'm going to release the kingdom of heaven everywhere I go. I'm going to release healing and signs and wonders because God said so. Did he say so? Are you sure? How often are you letting fear just grip you? How often are you letting doubt just to entangle you and just get you all festered over here and never ever seen? How often do you just let the things and the cares of this world just attack you and relentlessly get you so exhausted you're like, I don't got no time? When he's called you to be a witness, it says in the last days, it is declared by the Lord that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Look at somebody. Look at somebody. That means you. You. How many of you are waiting for somebody else to do it? How many of you are you grieved that there's a man not alive doing that when you can do it? There's nothing that says you can't be a voice in this next generation. You're not too old. You're not too this. You're not too that. You have too many excuses. That's it. But this is when extraordinary living really happens, because it's not just about doing. And I can get excited about doing. How many guys can get excited about doing? And then you get out there to do the doing and you're like, it's okay. We'll just be excited about the doing, but just stay in our comfort zone. Guilty. I'm working on it. A lot. God's got me on a teaching, training extravaganza. I agree with you. I believe it for you too. This is the daily Christian walk. You're obedient, you're in perseverance, you're enduring, you're living that life. And I want to give you a picture because I think that this is where I want to take you. Think about a dad and his son, and they're walking along, okay? And there's security as they're walking along, right? Kid would feel secure. That he would feel happy and he would trust his parent to lead him, and they're going around. And then all of a sudden, the dad just scoops the kid up and dotes on him and kisses him like, you're the best son ever. And I just love you so much, and overwhelms him with the biggest hug and just like, ah, you're so cool. And I just am so glad you're my son. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't about working it out and trying to figure out how to manage and work. It's just a love thing. And out of the love of God, he poured his power into us. It says in Ephesians 3, 17 through 18, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Where is he in? Touch your heart. Right in there. Loving on you. Doting on you, telling you how special you are, how unique you are, how important you are, how much he fills you. It says, and that being rooted and grounded in love, that's what he wants more than anything, that you would just say, I just know that God loves me. No one else loves me. God, he loves me, and he's died for me, and that's rooted and grounded in love. And it says that you actually may have the strength to comprehend with all of the saints. So point at someone, that means you, that you could actually understand it. How many of you fully understand the love of God? Not fully. But that you might fully understand the love of God, because it's to the magnitude that's outside of your ability to conceptually think about it. It's outside of your ability to frame it and make it a box and put it into this little frame, that this is how it is. It's so extravagant. It's so good. How many of you experienced the love of God? Yes, His love is so divine. It's so amazing. And it says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then it goes on, it says, and now, out of that love, did you see all that love He was saying, that you may be able to understand the length, the height, the width. Now, out of that place, it is Him who is able to do a far more exceedingly abundantly above what we could think or imagine, to the power at work in us. That's the power of God working in you. That when you lay hands on the sick, the power of God is released. It's because you were an advocate for the cross. You're like, yes, God has done this. It's great. It's a great thing. The Bible's great. It's great truth. It's not that. It's that you're a witness because He loves me so much, you have to know about it. That's the difference. An extravagant understanding of what God has done for you, you become a witness of who He is. How many ever had somebody tell you something that was so incredibly exciting that they couldn't even get words to it? How many? You gotta get more exciting friends. Come on, nothing is exciting that's so exciting in your life that you haven't had somebody tell you that, oh, we're getting married. Like, they were probably excited, right? Nobody on that side. Your house is paid off. How many would be excited about that? Car is paid off. How many are you excited about that? Like, there are things that we get so excited about. And then we testify, we tell people, we blast it on our social media that this has happened. You got the best job you've always wanted, and you put it out there. And this is the best news, the gospel, the best news. The best thing that's ever happened in your life is that Jesus has saved you and redeemed you from your sins, washed you and made you whiter than snow, and totally set you on high in power and authority in heaven, in heavenly places, and given you supreme reign and authority with Him as a co-partner with Christ, that you could move heaven and earth now. You can just go home with that piece of knowledge and just keep feeding yourself it all week long. This is who I am, and this is what God has done. And then you will start to believe it. And when you start to believe it, it should shift what you do. And when it shifts what you do, it'll shift your culture. And when it shifts the culture in your household, it will shift the environment at your work. And then it will shift what's happening in our community. And we will see the kingdom of revival and God moving on the earth like never before. And don't you want that? I think you should say, I want it more than anything else. We really should want it more than anything else. And He's given you everything that you need. Everything that you need. And this is what I say. Now, if you believe it, what will you do? Today, how are you going to activate that right now? Today, tomorrow, the next day, every day for the rest of your life, that I expect the power of God to move in my life, in my daily life, and that I am going to start seeing people come to Jesus. Because when the power of God was released on the church in Pentecost and they had that experience in the upper room, they went out from that place, that moment, and people were wondering what's going on, and 3,000 people got saved. We should start seeing the church multiply daily. We should start seeing the church multiply daily because the power of God is in you. You can't look to somebody else and say they'll do it when you are called to be His witness. And you can't look at yourself and start giving yourself all the reasons why not. Have you considered to open your eyes to what the Holy Spirit's doing and listen to the Father and let him interrupt your day? And I'm going to give you an example of this. I'm sitting at the coffee shop with Callie, and she's working and I'm working, and I'm actually working on the message. And this was a different day than the other time that I was sitting there, because God just is so fun. I find that he's gotten really fun at coffee shops. Maybe he's trying to get me to stop going. No, I'm just kidding. I was sitting there and I was studying about this, and I was just reading about the power of God being released in the church, that it's in us, the church, that when we two agree on something, it shall happen in the name of Jesus. Even Pastor Mike said that the name of Jesus that he's given us is so great that Jesus was walking and using that name. Like, there's something that's so powerful that he was doing what the Father was saying. And so as I'm sitting, getting excited for the word and reading it, I see this guy come in, and he's kind of walking in one of those things, and my heart kind of goes towards him, and I'm like, you know how, however quick you want to shut something down? I wanted to shut it down. I was like, I didn't hear anything. I'm not hearing anything, God. Jesus. I'm just going to get back into the Bible right now. I mean, come on, be real. Sometimes it's challenging. It may be not for you. Praise the Lord. And I was just like, oh, Lord, did I have to look up? Like, are we really doing this? And I was like, I don't really want to do this. And God is okay with your struggle. He's okay. And you want to know something? He's going to get me outside of this, because on the other side of life, when the disciples were walking, their threats were death. My threat was not death. And I should actually feel ashamed to say that I was struggling. But I'm being real. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like talking to the Lord. I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden, this man in the same space walks over to my table, and he's like, I need you to pray for me. And I'm like, what for? And he had a cap, I couldn't tell anything. He had a cap on his head, and he grabs both of my hands, and he's like, and I'm like, I don't see what's wrong with you. The light was coming in. He's like, the gigantic scar on my head. He takes his cap off. I'm like, oh, I still couldn't see it because of the light. I don't know. I was like struggling. And I was like, and then he went on to tell me all the problem he was having from falling at work and having this issue. And then he was struggling. And I was like, well, I would love to pray for you. So I pulled Callie and I said, Callie, you and I were going to pray for him. We just huddled in that space and I got to minister and pray over him. And I believe he's healed. What God was doing in the room was something. I could feel what he was doing. I just didn't know which person. And so to be aware and allow God to interrupt you, and to understand there are fish wanting to jump in the boat. There are people that are hungry to have hope. And they're searching for it in lots of different places. And you have the hope of glory. You have the great I am. There are people that cannot figure out how to resolve some of their health issues. And you have God healer. 39 stripes healed, delivered from destruction. His word is active in truth. You have so much. And so I'm calling you into this mandate. And if you get nervous, this is the prayer you can pray. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your words with all boldness. So you can ask God, as you minister to people, that he would give you boldness. But this next part is so interesting. It says, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. That's access to everything. That God has access for you. And it's a today thing. It's a now thing. It's not letting another day pass when we're not activating our faith and becoming a witness for Christ and bearing witness of what Christ has done. If you don't know what to tell somebody, tell them what Christ has done for you. It's simple. Would you stand with me? This morning, the altar is open for a couple things I felt like the Lord wanted you to take stock. And you might need to bring up your excuses to the Lord. Why you haven't been a witness. Why you think it's too hard, or maybe it's your busyness, whatever that looks like. It's easy to have a whole load of excuse, and God wants you to lay it at the altar. And it might be an opportunity for you this morning to say, you know, I need to repent. The Great Commission is what I'm supposed to be actively doing, and I haven't been doing that. I'm called to be a witness for Christ, and I haven't even considered him. And maybe this is a moment to say, God, I want to have conviction through the Holy Spirit to live the life you've called me to do, and to be, and to run the race. And if you've never experienced the love of Christ this morning, it's available at the altar. It's available at your seat. You can raise your hand. Christ is good, and he loves you, and he died on the cross for you. So if any of those, if the people that will pray for people would come up front, if it's not, you're not really wanting prayer, you just want to leave the excuse at the altar, then just come up and let's drop it and say, God, I'm giving you my excuses. I'm laying those down, and I'll no longer be bound to that any longer. And if you need prayer for any of the other things, the altar is open. God, we give you this moment, and we ask that you would radically empower us with boldness and change us, that we would bear witness of the cross, of the resurrection, and of the love of Jesus.